You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, y'all, Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for Yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start with Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's unwillingness to shoot his way out of Cincinnati is a red flag. It's a signal that Burrow doesn't see himself as a can't-miss prospect. It's a clue Joe Burrow doesn't believe in himself. Not the way John Elway believed in John Elway. Not the way Eli Manning believed in Eli Manning. John Elway thought too highly of John Elway to leave his career in the hands of Bob Irsay and the Indianapolis Colts. Why doesn't Burrow think the same thing about the Bengals and owner Mike Brown? Burrow said yesterday that he has leverage in the draft process and over the Bengals. So far, he seems reluctant to use that leverage. That scares me. See, being a 22-year-old quarterback prospect projected to go at the top of the draft is a lot like being the top college homecoming queen with a degree in psychology, an inheritance of several million dollars, and a doting father. She's the complete package, which puts her in complete control of her marriage destiny. You can't even get her phone number without her running your credit report and a thorough examination of your medical history. Why'd the doctor prescribe penicillin after you came home from spring break 2018?
Next!
Huh? When you see the homecoming queen dating your shady-ass best friend, what's the first thing you think? Hello. I wonder what's wrong with her. She got issues. That's the conversation people are going to start having about Joe Burrow. Why are you even talking to the no-good Cincinnati Bengals? You know the Bengals are dogs. You know they ain't gonna do right. Former Bengals quarterback and 2003 number one pick, Carson Palmer, came on this show and basically told Burrow, don't even give the Bengals your number.
I mean, if you just look at the history of the organization, they've successfully been very unsuccessful throughout their entirety. I never saw a Bengal scout at any of my college practices. I don't know if you ever did. But I saw every other team at every one of my college practices. Right now, he's going to possibly the worst team, but really quickly that can change, especially when you bring in a quarterback with his kind of abilities.
All right, yesterday, 1975 number one pick, Steve Bartkowski, advised Burrow to force his way out of Cincinnati, saying, quote, I know what it's like to go to a bottom feeder team. I'd hate to see that happen to him, to be honest. If it's the Bengals, I think I'd pull an Eli Manning on that one. John Elway kind of set the tone. Elway and Eli were homecoming kings who knew their worth and value. They knew they brought too much to the table to just play for anybody. What's the matter with Joe Burrow? Is he still insecure because he wasn't a five-star college recruit or because he got beat out at Ohio State? The insecurity is a red flag. The number one pick in the draft, especially a quarterback, should believe he's too good to put Mike Brown and the Bengals in charge of his career. All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NFL analyst LeVar Arrington, former Cowboys DB Orlando Scadron. Welcome to the show. Marcellus.
What's up?
Get us rolling.
Why not?
Think Joe Burrow has doubts about himself?
No, I think just the opposite. I think he's full of himself right now. I'm seeing some confidence that's teetering and cockiness in terms of saying you have the leverage. Does he know the CBA? Does he know what happens if you are not traded if Cincinnati drafts him?
No pay.
No pay red shirt, bruh. Mm-hmm. No pay red shirt. Is he really going to go to that extent when he had this perfect season and is riding a perfect wave? And to your point, didn't come out like we saw Joe Burrow all year. Firing. Absolute mindset. All in. This sounds like a fence ride right here. So a guy who's cocky enough to say, I have the leverage when he's really not making much sense there, is now going to kind of like, oh, let me sing and dance right now and test what the market is saying, what the court of public opinion thinks of me just being indifferent. I don't like it at all. I don't compare it to Eli. I don't compare it to Elway. They rolled the dice on themselves because there was greater upside. No rookie wage scale. Oh, yeah. Back in those days, present value. Oh, yeah, you rolled the dice. Now you're slotted. So you know what that money looks like, and it's still a tremendous amount, but still, it's not the same as Eli and Elway. And last but not least, let's clear the narrative up. I love you, Steve Barkowski. You know I got respect for Carson Palmer, but these are not the same Bengals. This team has been to the playoffs. This team has won games in the last decade since Carson Palmer has left. Six most playoff appearances behind what teams? Patriots, Ravens, Texans, Steelers, Chiefs, and the Bengals are next. You like that company? Me
no.
too. If you, oh, you don't no, like the Chiefs? No. I'm sorry.
I don't
sorry.
Like you put Cincinnati in that company.
Hold on. I'm talking about facts. You're talking about LeVar Arrington's feelings.
No.
I'm
saying
they haven't won a playoff game since 91. And the beautiful thing, did we hear about Kansas City not getting over the hump and now we celebrate them as Super Bowl champions? Mr. Whitlock from Kansas City.
They won
the
first round.
Get you a quarterback with Joe Mixon and that defense. Get you some guys. Build around them. Let's go play ball.
First things, I'm going to say no. He's not doubting himself, but he's Mr. Ohio. Ohio kid. I mean, at some point in time, he was Bengals fan, maybe a Browns fan, just to get a chance to play at home. He's doing what is comfortable for him. He's also looking at it, it's a big difference. I mean, first pick, you're going to get about $40 million guaranteed. Fifth, sixth, seventh, now you down into something, a $20 million contract. I mean, it doesn't make financial sense to hold out to demand a trade.
Let me ask you this, though, as you all know. Your second contract is the important contract
that's
in the NFL.
Correct.
You put your hands in your future in the hands of the Bengals, you're jeopardizing your second
But Carson
contract.
Put his in the hands of the Bengals, and he continued to sign on the dotted line. So he's telling this man, don't answer their call, but he kept cashing their checks.
Lesson learned.
Well, you can say that.
But it was a lesson learned for somebody. He's saying for somebody else. It wasn't somebody he
I'm signing this 100 million, but y'all go do something else. Interesting.
You know, that kind of swayed me.
After he walked away
bit.
And said, no. When Carson retired prematurely and tried to force their hand, you know, he made the comment about how much money he had in the bank. And then that's when he decided that he was going to force his way out. But he had a chance after 5 years to not re-sign that contract, to not put his future in the hands of the Bengals. And now he's telling this Ohio kid, Mr. Ohio, to hold out and don't answer their calls.
Mm. I'll just say this. Successfully unsuccessful is a great line to explain the Cincinnati Bengals. I just think when Carson hit him with that, I thought that was great. You said can't miss prospects, make decisions like what Eli and Elway did. But anyways, this is too many misses for a team. This is a can't make it team. And I just think looking at and focusing in on Joe Burrow in this situation is the wrong focus. I think Carson Palmer, Keely Smith, Dave Klingler. These are number one draft picks for this Cincinnati Bengals team. The only seasons of note for this Cincinnati Bengals team is 81 and 88. You know who their quarterbacks were? Ken Anderson.
I remember that.
All right. Dude got player of the year, offensive player of the year. Probably 9 out of 10 people would never even know who Ken Anderson is. And then the next one we know, Boomer Esiason with Icky Woods, and they did the Icky Shuffle. If I'm placing my bets, now I will say I'm a little swayed by Scan.
Swayed.
And thinking that maybe if I'm like LeBron and I can go back to where I'm from and have success, his star shines way brighter than anywhere else. But then I look at it from this angle, the likelihood and the probability of him being able to go into this market with this team and have success makes me feel like the doubt is in the franchise, not himself.
I'm glad you brought up LeBron James because LeBron James, hometown team, it didn't work the first 7 years or however long.
Well, he went to the finals.
He was close.
That's not
and
working.
And got killed by the San Antonio Spurs.
He went to the finals.
Yeah, I understand. He carried a bunch of
silver
guys
medal.
That we can't even name to the NBA finals.
Oh, we better put some respect on Booby.
A bunch of guys we can't name to the NBA finals.
That you make that
some,
reference.
And again,
put some respect on Mo Williams' name.
He had to leave.
El Goskis.
Hardcore sports fan. He had to leave in order to get those titles. He had to admit it's too much for me right now.
No.
And again, it goes back to ownership. A lack of belief in ownership in Dan Gilbert. And that situation is why he left. Look, Mike Brown's history with the Bengals and his penny pinching with the Bengals. This is Carson Palmer, when he came out, you could get paid as the number one overall pick.
Right.
And therefore, it's worth it. And therefore, your second contract isn't nearly as important. When you're putting your career in the hands of the Bengals and you got to make it to that second contract, I just think if this kid really believed in himself the way Elway and Eli Manning did, he'd shoot his way out of the situation.
Let's not mischaracterize the situation. First of all, LeBron left because of his best friend in South Beach. We just left South Beach. You don't need much
to go LeBron left after he cashed that second check.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, they all going to do that first one, re-sign, went in the third year, whatever it may be. Here we go. Let's paint this picture perfectly. Paint a perfect picture.
Uh-oh. Marcellus is picture perfect.
Kansas City, what, 50 years you guys went through a drought with no championship?
Well, no Super Bowl,
and
yeah.
And no Super Bowl won it, right? And then the team you faced that really was winning that game, almost won that game, last year, what was their record before? 13-3. 4-12. So now you saw resurrection from two franchises in terms of getting over the hump and getting to the promised land. Now let's talk about the Cincinnati Bengals in the last 10 years. Y'all want to talk bad about the Bengals without looking at the facts. 12 wins, 11 wins, 11 wins, 10 wins, 10 wins, 9 wins, 7 wins. That's half of the decade this team was winning and winning at a high tilt. You put them with Joe Mixon and now this guy quarterback, if he's as advertised, you got something special.
How many winning seasons right there? Playoffs? You got written down right
12,
there.
12, 11,
have
10,
the,
10,
the current
10.
Head coach have Patrick Mahomes as their
quarterback. No, I'm going to tell you the key.
How many are them seasons
I'm
going
to tell you the key. I'm going to tell you the key. Honestly, about the difference between Clark Hunt and Mike Brown.
Mm.
So here the Chiefs are in their drought, and it's extensive. What does Clark Hunt do? I'm going to go out and get the best coach on the market.
Eric Bieniemy.
Andy Reid.
Oh.
Andy Reid. He goes out and gets the best coach on the market.
He did.
What are the Bengals to go out and do? What's his name?
They got
Zach
rid
Taylor?
Of him.
Don't do that.
But we don't know, though. They could change. I mean, the first thing is...
But we know what Andy Reid was.
We keep skipping over the fact that if they're going to get Joe Burrow, they're going to have to get him something that makes them comfortable. A.J. Green. That's the first thing I do if I'm saying I'm a draft Joe Burrow.
They
I need to,
up
I need
out
to
there.
Re-sign A.J. Green.
Yeah,
I need to back
know.
The Brinks truck up, two of them if I need to,
right.
And keep them there. And
but so they're not going to do that for
when
no
does
rookie?
Mike Brown?
I mean,
talking about Mike
paid,
Brown.
He's paid them well. If you look at the Bengals contracts, they pay on par with everybody else. It's just their guaranteed money is a little off because they don't want to put that money in escrow. A lot of people don't know when you guarantee that money in the league, you got to put it in escrow. They don't want to come out of that pocket. They want to keep that money in their pocket and operate year to year.
Cincinnati has had tremendously talented players.
True.
And more than one on the teams at times. You think about Takeo Spikes was on that team. You're talking about TJ and Chad was on that team. At one point, they had Henry. They had like four receivers on that team.
Yeah.
It is still the black hole of the National Cleveland.
But let's not just act like Carson Palmer
Ohio.
Was Mr. Football. He was a good player. He was a damn good player. But was he ever, did you ever say Carson Palmer?
He was
Palmer,
the number one overall pick.
But did you ever say Carson Palmer is the best quarterback in the NFL?
Absolutely not.
Competitive.
And, but
he
but
was
again,
a competitor.
I guarantee
so he
you.
Could've did more, he could have did more on his behalf. If you look at them playoff games, you go back and look at them 2 years that they played the Jets, he was terrible in those playoffs.
Well, he got hurt. The year that it was rolling, it went bad for him. He got hurt in the playoffs, and then it all kind
of
crumbled
that's
after
all,
that 05 season.
That's
but look, I'm going to go back. Forget Carson Palmer, because I think he was talking a little out of turn for even me, but I didn't push back because that was his experience. But John Elway, let's use that comparison, and don't forget how many times we were saying, when is he going to get over the hump? Trump in the playoffs, the shortcomings. He went out on top.
We were saying
did y'all not win a Super Bowl the first
teams. He took three trash teams to the Super Bowl.
And that's my point.
The Bengals can't win a playoff game.
Hold on. That's my point. Let's get over at least winning the playoff game. That will start something to get momentum. I'm a Clippers fan. We are the favorites to win the NBA championship.
But y'all might expose being the Clippers in the playoffs. And that's what I'm trying to tell y'all about Cincinnati. Y'all already given the Clippers the crown. And that sounds good, right? But the Clippers will show that they're the Clippers once they get to the playoffs.
You believe the oxygen between the walls of the facility is going to be where you just can't win?
If you've walked in the oxygen of the walls, I've walked in during my pro career. Absolutely, yes.
Listen.
Absolutely.
The Clippers would be analogous if Donald Sterling was still the owner.
Exactly.
Mike Brown is still the owner in Cincinnati.
Who's paying?
Ever since he became the owner and general manager, 1991, they haven't won a playoff game. You have people like Carson Palmer. We got TJ Husmanzada on this show, mm-hmm. who's politely said, hey, man, you might want to look elsewhere than Cincinnati. But they're not all in on winning. If you're the number one pick and you're a can't-miss prospect at quarterback, you want to go to a franchise that's all in on winning.
How many of those bills can he pay with wins right now? How many of those bills can he pay with wins?
What?
So you want to give up? You telling me that this 22-year-old kid should give up millions of dollars to possibly
go to a different,
situation?
No, because he can still be the number one pick and go to a different team.
The Cincinnati
Bengals, Carolina Panthers can trade up.
Well, that's business. That
and
the
can
Bengals
be forced to. If I'm not signing there, and someone else is willing to give up assets to move up to number one, there's a way to shoot his way out and still be the number one pick.
I think that option is on the table regardless, but to just flat out tell Mike Brown, I ain't going to play for you, don't draft me, and he's going to say, all right, I'll show you. Mike Brown going to make his money. They make their money off revenue sharing. At some point, they all share when they get to a certain point, so he's going to make his
money. Only a few players could get away with that without ruining and damaging their brand or their
equity
reputation
lost before you even got
moving
it.
Forward.
Why is everybody advising him to? You got Barkowski, number one pick. Carson Palmer, number one pick.
In 76, and Carson Palmer respected
They know
him.
What year it is. They got calendars.
But the Bengals have won more since Carson Palmer. So guess what? The facilities have changed. Preach. Resources have changed. The money has changed.
The owner ain't changed.
But
the general manager situation
more.
Ain't changed.
He's doing more. The team is winning. There are a lot of double-digit wins.
They downgraded
seasons.
At head coach.
We talk about physical fitness a lot, but there's another side to the game that's just as important. I'm talking about mental fitness. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body. And Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, have less stress, and perform at your best. For LeBron James, sleep is an important part of his mental fitness routine. He says, getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind. And if you head to calm.com/sports40, you'll get 40% off a Calm premium membership. With Calm, you have access to nature scenes LeBron loves and so much more, like sleep stories and meditations. For a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership at calm.com/sports40. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/sports40. That's calm.com/sports40.
LeVar Arrington and Orlando Scandrick are back. Time now for a big story. Let's move to New Orleans, where Drew Brees ended Saints fans' suspense and announced on Instagram today that he will return to the team for the 2020 season. Mm. But Brees just turned 41, and New Orleans has Teddy Bridgewater and Taysom Hill waiting in the wings, with Bridgewater going 5-0, filling in for the injured Brees last year. While Hill said recently he thinks he's a franchise quarterback, all right, the question here is Drew Brees a better option than the Saints' backup quarterbacks?
Yes, he is. And I'm glad we're asking this question today, because if you would ask me during the playoffs when they lost, my emotions were getting the best of me. And I was looking at Drew Brees like, boy, have you lost a step or so? But now emotions subsided. You could look at this realistically and honestly and say Drew Brees is their best option. Even if you were to package up Teddy Bridgewater and Taysom Hill, and his 15 career pass attempts. You get out of here with that. And then Teddy Bridgewater, great numbers. Still not as great as Drew Brees. So if you want to say Drew Brees is in decline, say it. But he still led the league in completion percentage the last three seasons. And I'm not talking about 68, 69. I'm talking about setting it 4%. Setting it 4%. So Drew Brees' best options, no matter how you bundle it up.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with you. I'm going to say yes. His body of work speaks for itself. Still playing at an extremely high level. It's like having another coach. It's like having another offensive coordinator. It's like him and Sean Payton, they're on the same page. And, I mean, they got all these shiny weapons. Alvin Kamara. They got the tight end. What is his name? I can't even. He's slipping my mind right now.
Michael Thomas, the wide receiver.
I mean, got there yet. Oh. What's the tight end's name?
Jared Cook.
He put me out the playoffs. Yeah. Ended my chance. Then they got Mike Thomas. And, you know, they didn't give Mikey all that money to experiment with a new quarterback. And I think you can re-sign Taysom and you can still use him in that backup quarterback role, but you can also use him in a special teams role, in the gadget role. And you pick back up where you kind of left off. And, you know, you try to, you run it back. They're running it back. And as far as Bridgewater, I mean, he's going to be way too expensive unless he decides to take a discount. And some people on here like discounts.
Only thing I don't like about the whole running it back, even though I pretty much agree with you, is they're going the wrong way in terms of playoff success. Like, last year was a shortcoming compared to the year before, and we know how they've had these heartbreaks. So running it back, where's the psyche?
You run it back, and, you know, you try and get that bye again, and you know how the NFL works. You get that bye, and you get two playoff home games,
that's
and
real.
You get them in that dome, and you get hot at the right time, and you back in the Super Bowl. And that's all you can hope for.
Yeah. The price tag is relative to Breeze. I agree that Breeze is the better decision, but in terms of if Breeze – if his price tag is correct, because I look at it like this, I am going to look at that, the fallout from that playoff game. You were gimmicky at times. You were with Hill. You were doing things that, to me, you were having more success with Hill in the game than you are with Breeze. I mean, at one point, I was wondering if they were going to keep Hill in. Now, that leads me to my second point. Teddy B isn't even in the mix in the playoff game, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I wonder if this is like Tua in the championship game. If you put Teddy B in, is this even playoff?
Don't.
Is this even a extra time game?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
No.
So I mean, I appreciate the advice, but that's what I was thinking.
I felt the same.
You know
thing.
What I mean?
You know how the NFL works, though. You know, playing in the league and you playing somebody so many times, and Breeze got some strong tendencies, and he's gonna do what he does better than you do what you do. And just putting in Teddy was kind of like a changeup. You didn't know what you was gonna get. We haven't seen Teddy in forever, but to say that I'm gonna invest $30 million a year into Teddy for 4 years, or I can take that $30 million and give it to Breeze for the next two and have a chance at winning championships, I'm going to do it. They weren't really high scoring when they had Teddy. Their defense was playing extremely well.
I think
that what we all like let slip by us in the big realm of this thing is their defense struggled down the stretch. They weren't able to stop anyone.
I think there's two interesting things here. And one of them you said about the money they paid Michael Thomas and they got to justify it. And who gives them the best chance of Mike Thomas catching as many balls as he did this year?
He set an NFL record.
Yeah. It's Drew Brees. Then the other part too of this, which y'all are kind of getting at, and I think we're all tap dancing around it. To me, if the Saints clearly are in on this, they'll probably give Drew around $25 million. It'll be something less
than
30.
It's got to give him a little raise.
They gave him 25 last year. You can't
do 27.5.
Run it back.
Well, I don't know. He's a year older.
27.5 for two.
If they offer in Tom 30, they're going to have to give him 30.
I'm not sure. But to me, the other statement being made here is like, and I'm hearing it from y'all, too. Y'all kind of co-signing what the Saints are saying. Man, Teddy Bridgewater's nice, but he ain't all that.
$30 million?
Yeah.
He's going to get it on the open market, but for $30 million? There, no.
But again, everybody
is saying Drew Brees is going to demand $30 million.
No. But my point is, the fact that y'all are all saying Drew's a better option than a young guy in his prime who allegedly is going to hit the market and there's going to be all this demand for him and somebody's going to pay him $30 million, if they thought he was Jimmy Garoppolo, They would move on from Drew Brees.
Do we agree that we think Teddy Bridgewater is better than Jimmy Garoppolo?
No, we don't. Because clearly,
well, now there's no. that. Well, so then now here's where the debate comes in.
Again, to me, I'm hearing people say we got to feed Michael Thomas, and the only way to feed him is with Drew, and we don't think Teddy Bridgewater is all that he's being hyped up to be.
I'm gonna say this: it's something about this tandem right now that they're trying to package as their backups, which is Taysom Hill being the gadget, along with Teddy Bridgewater, that still doesn't trump Drew Brees. Drew Brees' worth is going to be tied to, like you said, legendary status. Tom Brady, was he command if he stays or goes? And then you, Drew Brees, you got to appreciate him somehow and give him some inflation. He was 2 years, $50 million. He had to pull teeth to get that.
Let me answer that, though.
All right.
Drew Brees doesn't have the leverage that Tom Brady had.
Right. How?
Because he got Bridgewater and Taysom Hill sitting behind him.
Yeah.
If Bill Belichick.
More leverage.
I think Mr. New Orleans got leverage.
That could be more leverage.
Mr. New Orleans is tied to Sean Payton. And I think if Sean Payton goes in there and he says, you know, whatever we got to do to get Drew here.
They
played last time. He was tied to Sean Payton.
But Mr. Benson wasn't dead last time.
Okay, I get you that.
He wasn't dead last time. And Mickey Loomis wasn't calling the shots. And I think Mickey Loomis' job is also tied to Drew Brees. Well, who gives us the best chance to win? So you keep losing in the first round and you can't get over the hump and you keep kind of struggling. And then you say, all right, we're going to move on to Teddy. Now, what's your excuse when you tied 4 years, $150 million into Teddy? And you're still losing, and you locked in.
Well, again, I've heard you loud and clear. You're skeptical of Teddy Bridgewater. Mm-hmm. And
I think Tom Brady has more leverage than Drew Brees. I mean, I'm going to stay on that.
They got backups. They don't have a backup. Jared Stidham.
That's a very important word that you put in what you said. Backups. They are backups.
I just got to clear up something because, you know, as former defenders, the defense wasn't that bad, as you said, Orlando, down the stretch. I mean, like, they gave up, what, like 17? A tilt, 7, 28, 10, 26, you lose to Minnesota. Like, they weren't that bad. So,
Drew Brees. Giving up some big plays, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, big plays, the 2020. But I'm going to say this. Drew Brees is sitting there because he's waffling, wavering a little back and forth. They played hardball before. This is not slam dunk Drew Brees. He's not in Tom Brady's position, and he knows that.
The Patriots play hardball every time with Tom Brady.
Yes, they have.
They haven't paid him over $25 million a year.
Talk about Young Buck. Young Pop up here.
No, he's
throwing down right now.
But look, I'm just sorry. I don't think Brees is in position.
He's not in the same position. He can't get a bunch of money.
I don't think Drew Brees has any interest in leaving New Orleans. You know, with just his arm and, you know, just the amount of usage he has on that thing. He got that surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that thing gets repaired, but it ain't new.
Mm. Well, no, he's not going to leave Michael Thomas and Sean Payton.
Why would you?
That offense. And again, that's why I think he's going to sign a very reasonable contract. Right. I think he's coming back for 1 year. It's a Super Bowl or bust.
Then they have to move.
One for 28
with some incentives if they win it all to get him to
35. I wouldn't be surprised if he hit 30.
One for 28.
That would be a gift.
Incentives.
Why are they giving out gifts?
If they win it all.
Muscle pain? I'm talking stopping your tracks. I'll never work out again. Oh my God, what am I going to do kind of pain? This is the kind of pain Dr. Jason Wersland was in when he created Theragun, the deep muscle massager that's unlike anything you've ever felt. Theragun isn't a cheap massager that just tickles your muscles. Our handheld percussive device uses a scientifically calibrated combination of speed, depth, and power to release the deepest muscle tension. It's this simple. Whether you want to treat your muscle tension from working out, an injury, or just everyday life, you can use Theragun. Theragun is the preferred muscle recovery device for over 250 professional sports teams and is used by hundreds of thousands of satisfied customers around the world to reduce pain, increase range of motion, and soothe aching muscles. Try Theragun risk-free for 30 days or your money back by going to theragun.com/cadence. For a limited time, listeners to Speak for Yourself get a free charging stand with the purchase, a $79 value. That's theragun.com/cadence. theragun.com/cadence. CADENCE.
Joined now by Fox NBA analyst Steven Jackson and Rick Bucher. All right, let's move to some storylines for the second half of the NBA season, starting right here in Los Angeles, where Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and the Clippers have underperformed their sky-high expectations, while LeBron James and the Lakers have exceeded expectations. All right, Marcellus, what's more likely here? The Clippers continue to underachieve, or the Lakers continue to overachieve in the regular season?
Rhetorical question.
Or, I mean, for real, dog. They're going to keep overachieving. They're going to keep doing what they do in the regular season, looking all cute, finally making the playoffs in the last 7 years, and get smoked. Handed that L when Kawhi say, let's really activate. You know, LeBron last year wanted to activate. That didn't work. This year, they're gonna keep putting up the wins. I respect the Lakers and what they're doing, but come on. Clippers are built for the playoffs, and that's when it starts.
Yeah, for the Clippers to achieve, they would have to finish first in the Western Conference because we picked them, essentially. They were the favorite to finish first, and that's not going to happen. All they care about is being second so that they get the Lakers down the road if it comes that way, and they're playing in their own building. Doesn't matter beyond that. They got to knock out Denver and Utah, and they're certainly capable of that. And the Lakers, quite honestly, could go 500 from here, and
they wouldn't be overachieving, though. Really.
They would overachieve for where we thought they were at the beginning of the year.
From hello.
Didn't have these kind
more
of
likely,
expectations.
More likely, Clippers underachieve or Lakers continue to overachieve.
I got the Clippers continue to underachieve. If they continue to have mixed lineups and not their full team, and go into the last month of the season with not knowing their roster, it's going to hurt them in the playoffs. You got to have some camaraderie. You got to be on the same page going to the playoffs. Don't think you can just throw those two guys out there and win when it comes down to it. It don't work like that with no team. Mm. They have to be together. They have to have a bond. They have to have played together for at least a month or two before they go into the playoffs. If they don't, they will continue to underachieve.
So, you know what? This is a different kind of load management than Greg Popovich and the Spurs used.
Yes. It's totally different because Kawhi was the star. So when you're taking Kawhi out, you know what you're plugging in. Now you got Paul in one day, Kawhi in. So you got two different stars. So when they get on the court together, who's who? Who's going to lead? Who's going to take over this time? You don't know that yet.
Yeah.
So now they got to try to get that together before the playoffs start.
Mm. All right, let's move to a disappointing team in the East, the Sixers, who haven't meshed well this year. Meanwhile, the Heat have surprised a lot of people, rising to fourth place in the conference. All right, Marcellus, what's more likely? The Sixers continue to underachieve, or the Heat continue to overachieve?
I think the Heat overachieve because I think the Sixers are going to get better the second half, especially. I saw them right before the All-Star game, and what they show me when they are focused and at home especially, this is a hard team to beat. So them playing at maximum powers, they're going to be difficult to beat in the second half. I think they know what's at stake.
I'm with you. Miami Heat are going to continue to overachieve. You add Andre Iguodala, Jay Crowder, Solomon Hill, and while Philadelphia has the second easiest schedule, strength of schedule, going down the stretch, Miami's not that far behind. They're top five when it comes to that, too. So I'd expect that Philadelphia is going to be a little bit better, but Miami's not going to slow down.
Miami is going to continue to, I think, they're not overachieving. I had them in top five in the East, my preseason picks.
Okay.
So I knew Jimmy, what he's going to do and have that team playing better. Now they got Iguodala. I don't think Philly's going to do well because Embiid don't want to be there. He's making too many notes that he don't want to be there. Him and Jimmy's talking and all this stuff. I really don't think he want to be there, and I don't think he's going to give his all. I mean, I know he cares about the game and he plays, but some type of way I think he's one step out of there already.
Wow.
And I just see Miami continue to play well.
Do you think Miami can beat one of the top two or three teams in the East in a playoff series?
Yeah, but I'm the wrong person to ask because I was the AC to be the one seed, so I feel any team can beat any team.
Gotcha. All right, let's keep moving to some exciting rookies. Zion Williamson and Ja Morant. Ja shined while Zion was hurt, but the top pick has stolen the spotlight since debuting last month. All right, Marcellus, more likely, Zion continues to overshadow Ja Morant, or he struggles to stay healthy.
Man, this dude gonna overshadow anything he does, man. My phone get all these alerts all the time with what's happening in sports. Anything he does, as soon as he steps in the building, oh, Zion's in the building. Oh, Zion's looking good in layups. Oh, my God, warm-up ducks. Look, he's just a sensation. So good luck trying to compete against that. Plus, I'm not gonna root against anybody getting hurt. So Zion's not gonna struggle to stay healthy. He's just gonna keep shining.
Yeah, it might be a prisoner of the moment, but watching Zion get up and down the court or seemingly struggle to get up and down the court, down the court on Rising Stars, he looks like his feet hurt. I mean, it scares me. There's a lot of weight there. You got two knee injuries. I think it's more likely that his health and his ability to stay healthy is going to be a greater question.
Wow. I don't, like you said, I would never wish bad health on anybody. I want him to stay healthy, but I don't think he's outshining Ja Morant at all. I just think we're in the moment. He's playing now, so people John Morant's having a hell of a season.
That's the point.
And the same highlights that you expected from him. So they ain't really outshining each other.
They're even to me. Outplaying them? No. Outshining them? Yeah, because there's electricity hooked up to Zion.
His name.
He does this much. It's like,
his name, though.
But how much of that is because we just haven't seen him?
It's the expectations of it.
See him. So you're like, I got to find out what he is.
No, it's not that, because in the summer league last year, we were tuned in. Like, it's rare you get a tuned in summer league game. You didn't do that for John Morant. You did that for Zion.
Yeah, but you ain't worried about...
But you got 12 minutes
of
Zion.
What am I missing, though? What about... I thought I read the deals. He's had the best 10 games of any rookie, first-year player, whatever.
Statistically.
Yeah, putting up numbers. And so that's overshadowing John Morant for the moment. Now, will it continue? I'm not so sure, because I'm like, y'all, I don't think he's in good enough shape yet to
sustain...
Who's
in the eighth spot?
Yeah. And what has...
Who's the next spot
John
right
Morant,
now?
John Morant.
Memphis. So he can't really overshadow him, especially if John Morant's making it to the playoffs and your team is not even close.
Yeah.
You know what
but
I'm saying?
That's like, the question down the line.
But I'm just saying, though, as we speak now, John Morant's in the playoffs.
Are we not amazed by John Morant's dunks and the highlight
exactly
plays?
That's my point. Oh, exactly.
Is that not hitting social media,
His name's
too?
Not Zion,
His name's not Zion.
And he's not.
But that's it. It's the hype. It's not the play. It's not the highlights. It's not what he's Zion's not making more plays and more highlights than John Morant.
No.
They're making the same amount of highlights and big plays. Yeah. It's like you said, we expect the expectation of Zion
it's
is
not
bigger.
An overshadow. Like, he's not overshadow.
He is a shadow.
Yeah. Finally, let's talk. Who has guided the Bucks to the NBA's best record so far this season. But LeBron and the Lakers are right on their tail with the best record in the West. All right, Marcellus, what's more likely?
Don't ask.
Giannis in the NBA Finals or LeBron in the NBA Finals?
Man, stop. LeBron ain't getting out of L.A. with this, man. The Clippers. One. Oh, I hope they get the one seed. Oh, poor us. We got to go on the road and play the Lakers. Where do we play them? In our building that they can't beat us in. So, no way. They can't even beat the Clippers. How are they going to beat them in a seven-game series four times? Not going to happen. Giannis in the Finals, baby.
LeBron's been to the finals 9 times.
Not with the
LeBron.
Lakers.
LeBron knows the path to the finals. I know, but if you're asking me one with or less. The other, like, yes. And he's got
well,
Anthony
now we're
Davis
more against him because this time he has the Clippers and we're throwing 7 at you before you breathe.
Very well may be. But if you ask me, do I take the field or I take the Bucks in the Eastern Conference, I'm taking the field. Mm. Giannis has gotten to the conference finals 1 time. He's been knocked out in the first round every other time. And in that conference finals, the Raptors spotted him 2 games and then swept him out. Yeah. I have no confidence that Giannis and
do
the Bucks
see a Kawhi
are going to get to the finals.
I mean, a Giannis stopper. Do you see Kawhi in the East this year to do that to Giannis, what happened last year? No. So it's going to be an open path. LeBron's not there. Kawhi's gone. Who's going to stop Giannis?
Jimmy Butler, I don't know.
Lakers winning. I've never seen a championship team where the star player couldn't shoot. Let me start there. So Lakers going to the championship. I don't see Greek Freak getting to that point where he can carry his team past the Eastern Conference Finals. Mm. I just don't see it. LeBron, it's a lot at stake right now. And probably the more that he's had to deal with in his career. He's never played with Tim Duncan on steroids, AD. Hmm. Never had a player like that. Am I right? He's the best player he's ever played with.
Fair.
Name who else?
Well,
yes. I mean, when he got to Miami, Dwayne Wade, maybe, but it went down.
That first year.
But yeah, I get you. I'm with you.
AD, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so with all that's going on with the Lakers, with Kobe, with the team dealing with all that, this is more motivation to win a championship. This will cement LeBron's legacy if he can bring a championship back to LA with all that's going
on. Can they even beat the team in their building? But
they're the number one team in the Western Conference right now.
You didn't hear what I said. Can they beat the team
that's
in their way?
Yes, they can.
When they gonna do it?
They getting beat by everybody
else.
When
they gonna do it?
When it's time.
Oh,
it's too. It's
we're
too,
built for
they
that
beat,
time.
They beat them twice, though, right?
No, we nope. have. Yeah, yeah. we beat them right. twice.
Regular season does not count.
Oh, now we're going to do this. It's only the games we play that counts.
Regular season don't count. Regular season don't count unless last month of the season when it's
okay,
going to
March
the playoffs.
8th. They going
to
beat us this time?
It counts in the playoffs. Oh. Regular season don't count with the Lakers and Clippers.
Oh, it doesn't, right?
It don't.
So the usage rate, the age.
Let me ask you a question. Why does it matter that if the Clippers beat the Lakers in regular season?
I'll tell you why, because the Lakers are number one seed. You can't walk around and say you're the best team in the West, and you're not even the best team in your city.
But playing in the same building, whether you win 4-0
or not,
I'm saying, whether you win 4-0 or not, you're still playing in the same building.
You
so regular season
Lakers
does not matter if the Clippers beat the Lakers.
You betting on the Lakers and Clippers in the 7-game series
I'm betting
right
on,
now.
I'm betting on LeBron and AD. Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
You with me?
I am.
I'm with you.
I've flipped a little bit. Honest to goodness. I've been disappointed with the Clippers' urgency, intensity. And so I do think it's a possibility that LeBron and these guys get it done in the postseason. I didn't think that was remotely possible at the beginning.
Y'all up and down.
Are you an active person? Do you like running, weightlifting, hiking, paddleboarding? If you're looking for something that can give you a natural edge to be better and get more out of your favorite activities, you should try Beat Elite from Human End. Human End's Beat Elite can help extend endurance, improve energy and stamina, and increase oxygen delivery throughout the body. Beat Elite focuses on blood flow and oxygen transport, helping optimize your workouts. There's no more feeling strain in your legs or burning your lungs, making it an awesome product to integrate into your training routines. Beat Elite is trusted by hundreds of elite teams, athletes, and organizations all over the world. So you know you're getting a top-notch performance product. Try it yourself and feel the difference. Do what I did. Take your game to the next level with Beat Elite by going to livehuman.com/speak and get 20% off your first purchase. The team at Human End is making this offer exclusive to Speak for Yourself listeners only. You won't find a deal like this anywhere else. That's livehuman.com/speak. livehuman.com/speak.
Time now for Darnell's question of the day. All right, take it away, homeboy.
Yes, sir. Let's move to Floyd Mayweather, who is finding ways to talk some trash, even though he's technically retired at this point. During an interview, Floyd took issue with LeBron James recently being named Athlete of the Decade, saying he should have won the award hands down and that LeBron won it because he has corporate sponsors behind him. Both guys have accomplished a lot and made a ton of money in the last 10 years. Floyd won his 8 title fights and retired undefeated, while LeBron won 3 MVPs, 3 titles, and made 8 straight finals. Want to ask you guys, do you think Floyd has a point here?
No. Not in comparison to LeBron James. He wasn't active enough, not enough big fights in this decade. He has no argument with LeBron James.
I think he's dead on. And it's no slight at LeBron, but there are some objective reasons why he's better than LeBron, and there are some subjective reasons. The objective one is, if you say we're splitting hairs, you're comparable. Team sport or individual sport? Mm. Individual. Because team sport, somehow, some way, somebody helped you. Right. Whether it's kicked out, oh, he made the 3. Oh, somebody came and played defense with me. I subbed in and out. Floyd walks in that arena. We're not looking at anything else but Floyd and his opponent. You stand in front of me, we go to war. So he wins in that category. Then you talk about record. LeBron has lost. A lot of people, when they start splitting hairs, saying, well, is he 3-6 in the finals? Floyd is 50-0. Donut. So there we go, Floyd again. Now you talk about the most important of all of these line items. How much money did you make? And Floyd Mayweather, Forbes list. Every time the Forbes list comes out, who's the number one athlete paid? Floyd Mayweather. I don't even know where LeBron gets a case in terms of going against Floyd. Just he gets
up,
a case.
Wait till you get over.
Okay. Well, I'm going to wait for that. But to me, Floyd wins this. And for 2 decades. I'm not even saying he should have won this decade. Should have won both decades, the last 2. Floyd's undefeated.
I got the case, too. It's the Associated Press decade, Athlete of the Decade. Hmm. They picked LeBron as Athlete of the Year 3 times between 2010 and 2020. Floyd never won it once. I would also say that LeBron changed the business model when it comes to free agents in the NBA. He changed how superstar free agents do business. Short contracts, choose where I go, set my agenda, and decide where I'm going to play. He transformed the way the NBA operates, both on and off the court. And for all of Floyd's success, I can't say that about him.
To me, it's harder to carry 14 guys than worry about yourself.
I get you.
One, LeBron never picked his opponents. Floyd has picked a lot of his fights and picked a lot of his opponents. Mm. Floyd has never dealt with a 3-headed monster like Golden State. Mm. And being down and dealing with adversity where he was down 3-1 to come back and win the championship. He's never dealt with nothing like that.
Right. Was he ever the underdog?
He was never the underdog. Hold on. And with Floyd, just because he makes the most money does not make him the best athlete.
That helps?
No.
It
will make him the most successful athlete.
I just gave you line items.
But he's not the best athlete.
I'm going to give you one other aspect of this. there's arenas that Floyd hasn't even competed in that dictate who gets Athlete of the Year. When you start talking about Associated Press Athlete of the Year, it isn't just a measure of your accomplishments in the arena. Mm-hmm. They start trying to measure the man. And a lot of times when you start measuring the man, and again, so LeBron has competed in all arenas in terms of not just squeaky clean. It's like, okay, I done started a school. I'm doing X, Y, and Z. He's tried to be bigger than basketball. And that is something the Associated Press weighs when they start handing out Athlete of the Year.
Ooh.
It's not just wins and losses and stuff like that. So Floyd hasn't even attempted to compete in those arenas. And if he were, if we started counting his competing, he'd be losing in a landslide,
yeah,
given the knocks on his character.
Okay, way to dress up the likability conversation that the Hall of Fame struggles with. Oh, T.O. Oh, you got top three numbers, but you wasn't so likable. I hated your post-game press conferences. You know what? You're not going to third ballot. Get that out of here. I got machine gun. LeBron didn't pick his opponents, but he picked his teammates to go to war.
He could have picked, if I could pick Charlotte.
Some dudes. So don't act like he went in there undermanned. Floyd always gets this reputation that everybody he fights is washed. You know why they washed? Because when you watch Floyd fight them, they become washed. Before Floyd fights them, they're not always in their prime, but most of them were, and they get washed. Now, Jordan started the short contract. Stop giving LeBron all that credit. Jordan did the one-year deals when he was in Chicago.
$30 million.
Thank you. And last but not least, the biggest switch and the biggest equity build for an athlete is not LeBron and Jordan taking short-term contracts. It's pretty boy Floyd, who was undefeated and getting undervalued and turned himself into money Mayweather. Means you love me or you love to hate me, but either way, you gonna watch and become the highest paid and undefeated and best record.
But listen. So you giving him more credit for doing something for him. LeBron did something for every player in the league. It's players that's at the end of the bench that don't get no minutes that's making $1 million just because of LeBron. It's players taking...
And winning rings they don't deserve.
But it's making it to the NBA is a big feat. You know how many people try to get to the NBA that can't make it?
What do you think is harder? Making it to the NBA or becoming who Floyd is? Becoming LeBron or becoming Floyd? Which one's harder?
Probably becoming Floyd.
You know that. What do we all say? Getting shape, getting football shape, getting basketball shape, but
it's easy to worry about you. It's easy to worry about you. To take an organization that's never been to the championship, that's never won a championship.
Aww.
What you mean? That
Sorry,
takes a lot.
Players from before.
So, let me ask you a question. You know what it takes to be great.
Yeah.
You know what it takes to take an organization to a championship.
Respect.
So you think that's easier? I mean, that's harder.
This is not an easy conversation. Which one is harder? It's more difficult to be that disciplined, go against the guys he goes against, and still unblemished.
And it's easy to worry about yourself than worry about 15 others.
LeVar Arrington and Orlando Scandrick are back. Time for the most fearless discussion of the day. Let's move to the Steelers.
Let's go.
We got a much-deserved apology from Antonio Brown in recent weeks, but the troubled receiver's apology has actually sparked some interesting questions. Mike Tomlin was asked yesterday if he'd bring AB back to Pittsburgh and didn't exactly close the door on the idea, saying, quote, "Once a Steeler, always a Steeler." Wow. I think the Steelers are considering bringing AB back.
Absolutely not. Not at all. This whole mantra, once a Steeler, always a Steeler, applies to every single organization out there in alumni affairs. When we have our Ring of Honor ceremony, we got to go shake
them. He tongue-in-cheeked them.
Bruh, once a Charger, always a Charger, and they still cut me.
Charger family.
And I still go to all the events and support, and, you know, we still got
to run
privilege.
A 4-5?
Huh?
You still run a 4-5?
When I could, no. They cut me when I ran a 4-6, so it doesn't matter. This is not about how big the brand is, not big how big the player is. It's just simply, we went through this before. We wish you the best. You're always a part of our family, our adoration. But as a player on this team, the hell we went through, and we know where the bodies are buried, we're not going back to that place.
I agree with him. No. 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 No better way to say it. He's just burned his bridges with Ben. Juju is, that's your guy. He's young. Juju's already young and immature. Do you really want to bring them back in that same meeting room, in that same locker room? And I think, of course, they're going to go and say, you know, once a Steeler, always a Steeler, you know, he's still part of our family. Because he is, because they're concerned about him. I mean, I think I'm concerned about him. I'm sure you're concerned about some of the behaviors he's exemplifying. But as far as bringing him back and putting him back on their payroll and making him part of their team again, I don't see it.
Should they be considering it? No.
Are they probably considering it? Yes. The yes would be because he arguably becomes the best player on your roster and gives you the most opportunities to win the game if he's vintage AB when he goes back to this team. The reason why it's no is for all the reasons that have been stated. It's too much of a compromising risk. It's a risk that you're taking where if he turns out to slip into being the person that he gets success or they're winning, whatever it may be, you're always going to have that question and that concern. The players, the coaches, the front office, it's always going to be right there in your face, right in your peripheral, just right there. Like, oh, there it is. Like, it's too compromising to make that decision. So you can't consider it.
One day y'all going to live as long as me and you done seen people have the worst marriage, get divorced, and then you're like, he's back with her, or she's back with him. I can't believe this. Yeah. They back together. Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah. After all that smack, you done told every piece of dirty business they did, yeah. And then you wonder why your family won't support it. Yeah. Well, damn, why'd you tell us all this dirt? We hate her.
Jay, you know what the definition of insanity is?
Yeah,
this is what people do. Doing the same thing over and over, expecting
people do it.
And
people
do it. If you look at the Steelers, where they were last year, I mean, going into the last 2 weeks of the season, they was in playoff contention.
They were.
And to go back down that road with Antonio being a year older, a year removed from not playing, and just all the drama. And I love Antonio as a player. I think that he's one of the greatest receivers to ever play football in my era.
Yeah.
But as far as to what they got going on in a young team and as much control as Mike Tomlin got and as Can't structured as that organization is, I don't see it.
There's too much temptation. It's by scenery. It's by familiarity. It's about relationships. He will get comfortable. You walk in there different, people go like, where AB at? You walk in there different, don't perform up to AB levels. They gonna start shaking you to get the old AB back. You bring the old AB back, it comes in totality. Then all of a sudden you start to feel comfortable, familiar, and then you slip into your old ways. That's why when you're trying to change your ways, you got to change your environment. He just needs to play somewhere else. That's all.
I agree with all of that. But again, there's a reason why they put up with this for 9 years.
1,300 yards a year.
Balls. Yeah. Yeah. And so they put up with it.
Yeah.
And they feel like, well, we can hold our nose maybe for one more year. And again, I'm not saying they're considering it strongly. But to me, for Mike Tomlin to even leave that door cracked a little bit, says to me that they're like, well, hold, if AB keeps backing up and keeps being contrite and keeps moving to a better and better place, we don't want to X ourselves out of the possibility.
You think Ben signs off on that?
But the only hole in that is that it's truly, truly documented and public knowledge now. While they were leading up to that, things hit here and there, sprinkles here, oh, a situation there, oh, they missed this there. But it is out. Like, it is all the way out.
I'm going to tell you why Ben would consider that. Tom Brady's the gold standard of NFL players. And that appears to be AB's best friend in football.
Yeah,
right,
but he didn't drag.
No, I get it.
Like he did Ben.
I get it. But what Ben is sitting there thinking, if Tom Brady's desperate enough, he'll play with AB. Hell, I'll hold my nose and play with him
ben
again.
Ben ain't thinking
let
that.
Let me say this.
Ben ain't thinking that.
Did you see what Juju did this year?
Yes.
We knew that Juju was going to do that.
Well, he got hurt, though. He got hurt.
Man, stop.
He had Mason, Rudolph, and
Juju ain't a true one. Y'all know that.
There was a lot of makeshift stuff.
Can I say this one thing about Mike Tomlin, which I've noticed of late, which I respect? Mike Tomlin had a bad rap and was almost on the fence, hot seat.
He trying to rally them troops.
And it wasn't even X's and O's. It was about the I's and U's. Distractions, personalities. He like, look at my record. I have the second most wins behind Belichick, and y'all trying to destroy me. So what is he now leaning to? The I's and U's.
For sure.
Mason Rudolph. Going to go out there on a limb. I wasn't there. Like, nobody was in that moment to hear what was said or not, and he going all in. And now he's doing it with AB.
Yep.
Like, keep the door open, even though I know it's closed.
I think that's good for Mike, though. Because
it's great for his brand.
The brand and the type of coach that he really is, and that's what he was missing.
But is it real?
Mike was missing the soft side because he was so...
Matter of fact.
Straight to it.
Yep.
And Mike was tired of Antonio Brown. They suspended him for the last game. Don't even show up. Don't come. Leave.
All right, let's move from the Steelers then. Do you think AB at some point in 2020 is going to have a lot of teams bidding on his services.
Yes, sir. I mean, like we said, you got a Hall of Famer on the shelf right now. All you got to do is just dust him off, get him some help, and let him focus in on what he does best, which is catch that football. Absolutely.
I don't. I mean, as much as I love him, I think he's done. I think he's going to serve an extremely long suspension, which is going to be a paid suspension. This year wasn't a paid suspension, but he's got several cases looming over his head. He's got the last case where he punched the truck
delivery driver.
Then he's got the case with the massage girl.
Yep.
And then he's got the other case with the other paint, the artist, the painter that came to his house. And I just, how do you even bring him with where we are with the Me Too movement and where we are with the sensitivity and, you know, harassment against women and domestic violence?
They brought him in knowing that there was something to those cases.
And they cut him as soon as they came out.
But here's the thing. Every coach loves the redemption, the resurrection. Be real. You think Belichick ain't walking around smiling like, yeah, y'all thought Randy Moss quit football and was done, and I got a hold of it.
Yeah, but I tell you the only thing.
Same thing with AB.
No player is
a little bit more egregious.
No player is bigger than that.
A little bit more.
Allegations, though.
Stronger allegations.
Stronger allegations. But there's a redemption to an AB story. I'm not helping just a player. I'm helping the person.
A lot of bidders?
No, I think a very select group of bidders. I think bidders that can take the risk of if we get hit with the media impact of him getting in trouble or getting suspended after things take place. I don't think teams that have a lot going for them would want him as a bidder because it could be too much damage to their locker room, to the culture of what they have going on. Hmm. It's almost like a Kaepernick situation. You don't want to bring the media circus that comes with that if it's not worth the squeeze.
Have anybody at this panel here negotiated a settlement for something civilly that they didn't do?
I'm raising my hand.
Okay.
You know what it is.
Okay. But I mean, Marcellus, your track record speaks for itself. That was an isolated incident. Antonio, his it's just repeat, and then he uses Twitter and he goes and he lashes out. I mean, it's just, you don't know what you're going to get from him. You might get the Hall of Famer or you might get the guy that's a nuisance and that brings everybody else.
It's the unknown that makes it.
Well, we've already seen the Saints kick the tires on him. And
kicked it quick.
Well,
they said the report was they told him not to come with an entourage.
Right, and he brought...
And he brought an option.
And Seahawks.
So there's some teams to me that are in win now mode that I think will kick the tires on AB again. I think Jerry Jones is capable of kicking the tires AB. Mm-hmm. And again, all you got to do is take, if the Saints kick it again, the Seattle, take a couple of teams that's in contention, and then all of a sudden it's going to be a conga. Like, oh, they in line? Let me get in line.
But what about the whole disciplinary process? The NFL has not even dove into
that's the biggest issue. They need to give him a definitive suspension so then teams can jump in that conga.
But they can't but Big Red ain't going do that. That redhead guy sitting up there in New York, you know he like to put his hands in it when it's all said and done. He don't got to make a decision right now, so why would he?
You made me think about that gardener that put them tropical plants in Buffalo, man. Had me in the court all damn day. I was like, what do you put these plants for in Buffalo?
Whitlock and Wiley, LeVar Arrington and Orlando Scandrick are back. Let's move to Tom Brady, whose future is as cloudy as ever. With reportedly no movement on his contract talks with the Patriots so far, even so, a lot of people in the media seem to be warming up to the idea that a return to New England is the most likely outcome for the GOAT, including Peter King, who says that his gut feeling right now is that Brady is back in Foxborough next year. All right. Marcellus, does this change your opinion? You think Brady re-signs with the Patriots?
Nope. Not at all. I think there's a great chance he leaves. And I tell you that we can't forget who Tom Brady is, who was unheralded leaving college, not going to college, leaving college. Wants to test those NFL waters just to feel what that feels like to be wanted to that level, to that extent. You're talking about Tom Brady being a free agent. And everyone says that and just moves on from that sentence. But focus in on free agent. A GOAT is a free agent from a franchise. So don't act like franchise you love me that much because you allow me to go out there and be tempted. And then he actually fought to be a free agent. That curiosity is going to go out there and figure out what's available before he comes back. So last right of refusal or first right of refusal you think is the Patriots, it's last. After I see what's out there, I'll come back and check in and just let you know it's been great. Can you make this greater? If not, I think he's gone.
Did you steal my notes?
Oh, okay. You my dog.
You stole my notes.
You my dog.
You stole my notes.
Nah. You think he's interested in leaving?
I think so. I wouldn't be surprised if he leaves, but I think, you know, he weighs his options first.
Oh, yeah.
I think he comes back to Foxborough. He sits down ultimately and he talks to Mr. Kraft and he looks him in the eye and he says, I want to be here, but I want to feel appreciated. And at the same time, I want some weapons around me. I want to go after this thing and I want to win more. I think Tom Brady is more addicted to winning than he is money. Wife make over $25 million a year.
Lord.
He's been making over $20 million a year for the last 8 to 10 years. I think they figure it out. I don't think there's a better place for him. I don't think he goes and learns a new system at 43 with John Gruden. I don't think he comes to the Chargers and plays second fiddle to the Rams and tries to figure it out with them on the move.
True.
I think that, you know, he goes back, gets some weapons, he gets a contract that's comparable 2-3 years, and he finishes this thing out on New England Patriot.
I think the longer this thing plays out with a certain direction, you know how it's like no real direction being given by the Patriots, there's no real direction being given by Tom Brady, everything is very cryptic. I think the longer that that plays out, I think the level of high level of him returning, it continues to go down. They're not going, from what I'm hearing report-wise, they're not going to franchise him because you don't.
They can't.
Right,
they can't.
He already negotiated. Get that out of here.
So with that being said, taking that one option off of the table, you're getting a smaller opportunity for a successful re-engagement between the two parties. So I think he is going to – I believe he'll test the free agent market. If I had to go with what I truly believe where he'll end up being, I do think he'll be in Foxborough.
I think that there was a little bit of a miscalculation by Tom Brady in terms of what was going to happen this offseason. I think Tom Brady anticipated playing better than he did this year, and that's why he wanted AB back so badly and was frustrated. Tom Brady thought he would put together a solid season, get to the end of it, and have just unprecedented leverage. They can't franchise me. I can force them to go out and get weapons. He didn't play that well. So his leverage is weakened because people are looking at it like, should they move on? He's 42. He's leaking oil. I just don't think he has the amount of leverage that he thought he was going to have this offseason. I've always felt like his highest value is with the New England Patriots, with Bill Belichick, with Josh McDaniels. He doesn't really make sense these other places. And again, had he played really well, I'd be like, oh, yeah, the Chargers, Tennessee, any team looking to win right now, Brady's an option. But because he didn't play that well, he doesn't have the leverage. I don't think he'll be able to force Bill Belichick as much as he thought he was, go out and sign this guy. I heard Kyle Hurd today talking about, make him go out and get Stephon Diggs. Well, you ain't gonna make Bill Belichick do a damn thing at this point with the leverage you have. They may go out and get Stephon Diggs, but it won't be because Brady demanded it.
Well, I think in defeat, in terms of Brady and his lack of success this year, sets him up for a greater triumph. Individually, divorce. I got to divorce my brand from Belichick. And this is the perfect chance. If I'm believing in myself and my skills and it was just the resources around me that were deprived, then I go somewhere else. And you don't even set that up unless you're really tempted to do it.
What is he trying to prove, though?
One, that I'm not going down in history as a tandem. Like, I got to a certain...
But he is.
Let's be real. If Tom Brady, like Joe Montana almost did when he went to the Chiefs, the AFC Championship game, like, when you get to a certain place, you're like, I don't want to always hear about the other. I get it. That's why most groups break up. Because it's like, yo, dog, I can rap too. And then they get to a certain
place.
But
it never works.
And they're always recognized as to what
they were. That's the beauty of rolling the dice. It never works. But when it does, it's bigger than anything. And I think he's betting himself.
Look, Michael Jackson left the Jackson 5 in his prime.
That worked.
He didn't wait till he was 42. This ain't the time to bounce.
After the bad
album?
Stick
with the hit. Stick with Tito and Jermaine.
You're going to Vegas and you're saying, I'm not going to gamble. I'm not going to party. No shows, no dinners. Why are you in Vegas? He's a free agent for a reason.
I agree.
You do not say that.
His calculation, though, when he got to free agent, it was different. He thought he would be landing in free agency, playing at a relatively high level.
Truth.
Now that he's not, because
he's just going to tuck himself back in New England bed?
He never wanted to leave New England.
Ever.
He wanted more leverage than what he had.
When you're driving that nice Bentley and it's rolling smooth, no check engine lights, no tire pressure lights, do you take it in? Do you take it in?
I ain't taking it in when the check engine light came on.
I don't take it because I know it come on too. Want you to have so many of you know that thing come on.
But the thing is, where I'm going at this, it's not really broke. Yeah. It's not broke. I mean, it's a good situation. I mean, I'm sure him and Bill don't see eye to eye, but who?
Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval ratings for Joe Burrow.
You know.
But first, who's your big dummy of the day?
Nice jersey.
The person who picked out that suit looking like the Kool-Aid man just went to college?
Say it.
Oh, yeah.
Kool-Aid's here. All right,
man.
All right, let's talk Joe Burrow.
Oh, yeah.
I said earlier that Burrow selling for the Bengals is proof he's not confident in himself. And I've been saying for weeks that Carolina is the best place for him, especially since his LSU offensive coordinator, Joe Brady, just got hired there. Marcellus, is Carolina the best fit for Burrow?
No, it's not. Two reasons. One, what do you have to give up? Carolina in some trade package to get Joe Burrow. We were talking about before Christian McCaffrey, other assets, number 7 pick. Oh, no. Two, not so sure Joe Burrow wants to tie himself to Joe Brady, Belichick, Brady again. That sounds great, but you may not get the same results. And then you're going to always be in this tandem of legacy. I think a lot of guys don't want to raise their hand for that. No.
Oh, why? People want to raise their hand to be Belichick and Brady.
For the success, but not the tandem. You always want to hear somebody else's name? Whitlock and Wiley, you don't want to hear whatever we're here with.
What's success?
Whitlock's
I want to hear success.
I'll give you that.
Success is more important than anything.
Carolina ain't going to do it with
all right, Belichick. Uncle Jimmy. What's your take on my take that Joe Burrow should try to get out of Cincinnati?
My take is that this is amazing. This is unbelievable. You are telling Joe Burrows to not to go to the Cincinnati Bengals for the very same reason that Mike Wilborn told me not to come and join this team. But I came. Because like Joe Burrow, hey, I'm a winner. I showed up, showed out, and turned this little ragtag-ass organization about.
Hold on, you calling us the Bengals?
I'm telling you.
Uh-oh.
And that's exactly what Burrows is going to do for the Bengals, just what I did for y'all.
That's cold.
What did you do for us?
You ever want to play games before?
Yeah.
What you need to do is tell the truth and shame the devil. Look here, this show is as close to the Cincinnati Bengals as it gets. It gets no lower. Look here, man, the Bengals ain't won a game since 1991. A playoff game.
Yeah.
And the Lord know, on the for real, you ain't scored since 1991.
Don't do that. Huh? We going to Vegas.
People say the Bengals is cheap.
Yeah.
Oh.
Why in the hell is me and Darnell sharing a seat on Greyhound while you and Marcellus is taking the Learjet? Marcellus, who is the face of the Cincinnati Bengals? Anthony Munoz, okay. Hall of Famer.
Okay, yeah.
Big ugly lineman. Need I say more? Now y'all gonna start talking about we the Bengals. If we ain't the Bengals, what the hell TJ Husposada doing running all around here?
That's true. Okay.
Man, I'm just glad Harambe ain't around here to see this mess, man.
Harambe.
RIP to the homie, man.
Yeah, the
look, man, it ain't just the Bengals. It's the whole city of Cincinnati. Hey, man, look, I got a couple fun facts for you.
Yeah.
Did you know that Cincinnati was called the City of Seven Hills? That kind of sound like your lower torso to me now.
Man.
Look, if you think I'm lying?
He snapped.
Hey, man, they got a city called Porkopolis. You tell me that my nephew shouldn't have been the mayor of that. If you think I'm lying, tell my nephew pull his shirt up. He got so many stretch marks on his belly, it looked like a damn Bengals helmet. Come on, man. If we ain't the Bengals, I don't know what the hell is.
Are you cracking?
Pull your shirt up.
Stay off my dog.
Oh, man. All right.
Stay off Woodlock.
Look, man, I've got Joe Burrow at a 72 All-Star. Down a few points here. Down in job performance. Down in authenticity. He needs to get the hell out of Cincinnati. I like Joe Burrow, but he's down a few points. 72 All-Star.
I'm with you. He's down. Took him from his GOAT status in his perfect season to now these comments. Doesn't sound like the same Joe Burrow I saw on the field. And don't mess with your destiny, brother. Go where you're drafted and ball out.
All right, the internet agrees with us.
Just get your money, bro.
39%.
I damn sure ain't getting nothing.
39% you get some money, Joe. Have him at an All-Star.